Dental Laboratories, Washington State Healthcare Authority.
May it please the court, I'm Richard Burson. I'm representing the appellants, including Allen Dental Laboratories and Andon Allen, who is the owner of Allen Dental. I'd like to reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal. This appeal relates to an administrative proceeding that was reviewed by the Pierce County Superior Court. This court, in reviewing the matter, stands in the shoes of the Superior Court and then looks at the standards of the Administrative Procedure Act as a Superior Court should do under these circumstances. The administrative proceeding relates to an audit that was performed of Allen Dental. The audit commenced in 2010, just as the DSHS program was discontinuing due to lack of funding. Mr. Allen and Allen Dental had been providing services for 8 years under the DSHS program. Mr. Allen himself has been a denturist for 20 to 25 years. He's worked with more than 11,000 patients during that period of time. He signed a provider agreement in 2002 to become part of this program. He also signed another provider agreement, which was somewhat different, in 2008, which covered the last 2 years of the audit period. The healthcare authority, and I'll refer to them as the agency conducted this audit by taking a sampling of about 300 or 330 patient files out of 12,000 files that Allen Dental had. They described this as a probability sample. They started this audit because they had received what turned out to be a false report from another denturist that Allen Dental was engaging in some form of fraudulent billing practices and relating to immediate dentures.
At the time they used the extrapolation procedure, that was authorized by WAC 182-502A-0601, right?
I'm sorry?
It was authorized by the administrative code using the extrapolation.
Using extrapolation was authorized.
And now you've come in with supplemental authority saying this recently enacted statute kind of changes the table of playing ground for when and how you use extrapolation.
Correct, Your Honor.
And you're arguing it applies retroactively because it's remedial in nature?
Yes, Your Honor, because it relates to a procedure. It relates to matters that relate to procedures and remedies as opposed to vested rights are typically viewed as remedial statutes. And I cited the Houck case, which stands for that proposition. The opposition's also submitted a supplemental authority, the 1000 Virginia case, I believe. In that case, they were looking at the statute of limitations and statute of repose in a construction defect case, and the analysis was that this goes to a vested right as opposed to just a procedural matter. In this case, the new statute, 7409195, is entitled Procedures for Audits. And includes not only that provision, but it also lays out the requirement of having a qualified professional leading the audit, someone who's experienced in the particular trade or practice. In this case, the manager who was assigned to this, and this was verified in some of the exhibits that were presented, did not have any substantial experience in dentistry or denture practices, nonetheless was in a position of making judgment calls regarding Allen Dental's practices.
So if the statute went the other direction, though, if it instead said, you know, not only can you use extrapolation, but, you know, you can use it on a 0.1% sample. You don't even, you know, if you got 10 samples, you're good to go with extrapolation. That would apply retroactively because it's remedial?
Yes, Your Honor. It's a statute designed to that was enacted because there have been problems with extrapolation in these cases where small numbers have been magnified into large numbers. In this case, $30,000 to $175,000.
I guess the point I was trying to get to is that that kind of a statutory change wouldn't impact a vested right of your client?
No, it's procedural in nature. It goes to how the audit is to be conducted and what the standard should, what standards should be applied to that, as opposed to, say, a statute of limitations or a statute of repose, where in the other case they determine that it goes to the very question of whether or not you can bring an action, your right to bring an action. So that distinction was drawn in the Howe case. The important consideration for extrapolation, the other important consideration in this case, is that we had an administrative hearing where there was no evidence presented concerning the extrapolation. They brought in the program manager, who wasn't actually doing the audit himself, who testified that this was a statistically valid extrapolation procedure, but when asked about the procedure, he could not explain it, didn't understand it, and had not been involved in this particular extrapolation. So Allen Dental was in a position then of having no evidence presented that about how this was conducted. Merely what Allen Dental had was a conversion of $30,000 of what were described as overpayments to $175,000 based on this audit without competent evidence being presented. And so we challenged that at all levels, at the administrative level, at Superior Court, and now on this appeal. Entirely unfair to saddle a dentist who worked for this long in the program with $175,000 based upon an unexplained extrapolation process. So at a minimum, we believe that the extrapolation aspect of this was not supported by substantial evidence.
Time remaining, I just you spent a lot of time arguing in your briefing about this can't mean the regulation can't mean charts and records. It's got to mean something less than that. And it, as long as you've got evidence of necessity and actual delivery of services, you should be good to go. And doesn't Birchshaw kind of just resolve all those questions?
Well, first off, Birchshaw is from another division. In Birchshaw, though, that case is distinguishable because while we don't have all the records in front of us, the court described the records of the optometrist in that case as being sparse. That was not the case here. In every case, and if you just look at the limited files that were introduced in the administrative proceeding, we could not introduce the rest of them because there had been a summary judgment on the question of charts. All of those services were documented, and they were documented in multiple fashions. They were not sparse records.
Thank you.
Good morning. May it please the Court. I'm Jacob Phillips, Assistant Attorney General representing the Washington State Healthcare Authority. Medicaid providers have an obligation to maintain authenticated patient charts documenting clinical treatment information for each of their patients. In this case, when Allen Dental's records lacked that clinical information, the healthcare authority properly assessed an overpayment. Holding providers accountable to these requirements is a crucial part of the healthcare authority's mission to protect its Medicaid clients and to ensure the integrity of the Medicaid program. Now, Mr. Burson's argument focused on the extrapolation here. He provided some additional authority, arguing that the new statute enacted in July of this year should apply retroactively. Statutes are presumed to apply prospectively, but they can be applied retroactively if they are remedial. A remedial statute is a statute that relates to practice or procedure or remedies. Now, the healthcare authority does not in any way concede that this statute is remedial. This statute imposes all kinds of obligations on the authority that it must meet during the audit process when conducting audits.
Isn't the audit process, though, a procedure, and isn't the result of the audit a remedy using extrapolation?
I think you could characterize almost any statute that way, I think, in terms of sure, any obligation you impose goes to some sort of procedure. A lot of the authority looking at these cases is, procedures are talking about notice or things of that nature, not substantive changes of law. But even if it were relating to a practice or procedure or remedy, the courts have said that it's not a remedial statute if it affects a vested or contractual right. And that's what we have here. We have a provider who signed a core provider agreement agreeing to comply with the agency's rules and regulations. And those rules and regulations, as Your Honor pointed out, establish a specific procedure for extrapolation that was in place when the agency did this audit and during the hearing in this case. That was the law that was applied. And to apply this new statute retroactively frustrates that contractual agreement that these parties had. And so in that sense, this is not a remedial statute and should not be applied retroactively. Now, going to the other point that opposing counsel made regarding extrapolation and the evidence that was presented, the healthcare authorities' regulations governing audit hearings requires a provider to submit a hearing request, and in that hearing request, the providers are supposed to outline what it is that they are challenging. Now, the provider in this case submitted a hearing request, outlined a number of points, none of which was a challenge to extrapolation. So the agency's regulations also impose on the provider the burden of proving that the agency's overpayment assessment was incorrect somehow. So together we've got a statute that requires the provider to at least put the agency on notice about what is going to be challenged so the agency can present evidence at hearing. And you've got a burden that's placed on the provider to also present evidence supporting their challenge. In this case, Allen Dental didn't provide any evidence regarding the or didn't provide any notice to the agency that he was challenging the extrapolation, the validity of the extrapolation. And he provided no evidence at the hearing to show that extrapolation was invalid. The agency could have provided a statistician to come in and talk about the statistical validity of its formula. What the agency provided was the auditor and the audit manager who just talked about the audit, and then on cross-examination was asked about a statistical formula that, of course, the manager couldn't talk about. The agency's regulations establish that the agency's formula must be to 95% confidence level. And in this case, Allen Dental can't rely on the fact that the agency didn't present a statistician to support his burden to have presented the evidence to show that the extrapolation was invalid.
Why'd the legislature adopt this new statute? Sounds like there's some policy concerns with misuse of extrapolation.
Like when you look at the legislative history of this case, it was put forth by a representative who is a former dentist, I think, and there was a lot of testimony, frustration from the provider community about the extrapolation process. I think that inherently, when somebody's audited and there's a representative sample and a small number turns into a big number, that can feel very unfair from a provider's perspective. But the courts have looked at these extrapolation cases. This happens in federal courts, in Medicare cases, and the courts have said that this is a reliable method to allow an agency to be able to look at some records and to be able to predict what an overpayment would be without putting the burden on the agency to conduct hundreds of hours of audits and without putting the providers in the position of having to have the agency in their space for however long that is. So courts have recognized this is a valid process and have said that if a provider thinks that there is something wrong with the process, the burden's on the provider to present some evidence to show that. So we also discussed, or Mr. Burson also discussed the charts and records, and Berkham-Shaw does conclusively, that court did an extensive analysis of the agency's rules and regulations that authorize it to assess an overpayment in cases where a provider, maybe there's evidence that a service had been provided, but when a provider doesn't give that clinical information that's so crucial for the agency to know what was done, who it was done by, what the outcomes were, these are important factors for the agency, and that's why they have this clinical documentation requirement outlined in WAC.
And necessity.
I'm sorry?
And necessity. This stuff's not just what was provided, but it was medically necessary.
Correct. That is a big piece of it. And in some of these cases, there was pre-authorization, so medical necessity had been established up front, but there was a lack of showing that what was done during that treatment and what the treatment's outcomes were and who provided that treatment. There just weren't authenticated patient notes describing that information. Allen Dental argues that under the terms of the core provider agreement, that he met all those terms. That just simply isn't the case. As the core provider agreement shows, the providers agree to follow the agency's rules and regulations. They also, the core provider agreement also informs providers that a failure to maintain documentation may result in recoupment proceedings.
The agreement doesn't expressly address extrapolation.
That's correct, Your Honor. It doesn't expressly address extrapolation. So what it does is it puts the provider on notice that they are subject to the agency's rules and regulations, which then the regulations do establish the extrapolation process and put providers on notice that way that the agency can extrapolate at it after making findings through an audit. Finally, appellant has failed to meet the burden of showing each of the five elements that's necessary for equitable estoppel. In this case, the agencies made findings when the documentation in the record was lacking. There's Mr. Allen Dental did not challenge the extrapolation at hearing, didn't present any evidence of the extrapolation at hearing, and we would ask that this court affirm the agency's findings. Thank you.
The agency was well aware of the issues with regard to extrapolation. The problem with this is that it was never explained and it was never presented.
So, where do I find that in the record about them being aware of the challenge to the extrapolation process?
Where in the record?
Yeah.
Well, there was an initial notice. Then, during the course of the hearing, there was extensive cross-examination of the party that came in to talk about the extrapolation. Now the argument seems to be that the burden is all on Allen Dental to figure out what the extrapolation is and then to come in and challenge it. In this case, there was no extrapolation presented in terms of the methodology, how this was done. So there's no way actually to even come in, other than cross-examining their witness, and then it became apparent that they didn't have a witness who could explain the extrapolation. It creates a real conundrum for a party who's faced with a $175,000 bill to go out and hire a statistician to try and figure out what they did in the extrapolation first, and then to challenge it. Totally contrary to what normally takes place in a litigation process.
Well, did your notice, your request for a hearing, put the agency on notice that you were challenging the extrapolation?
It didn't specifically reference extrapolation. It appealed the entire audit. And at that point in time, we didn't know how they did the extrapolation. So it was, the notice was simply to commence an audit review process. The issues that had been flagged were specifically referenced. In essence, there was a list including without limitation to the following issues. But an appellant in that situation is not required to identify every issue for the audit review. There's no rule that states that.
Can I hold you over for just, can you in 30 seconds respond to the argument that it's not remedial if it impacts contractual rights? This impacts contractual rights.
It's circular reasoning. It's saying we're looking at the statute. We're not looking at the contract. They're saying that somehow because it references a broad universe of statutes that it must affect a contractual right. I would disagree.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. We'll be at recess.
All right. Where is the recess?